All right, my name is still Chris Curry from Iowa State University. I'm going to, going to be talking about some growth control strategies with culinary herbs. This time, it's going to be focused on using phosphorus restriction. And I should mention that Brian Wipker from North Carolina State University is also helping us with this project. So he's also a part of the study, even though he couldn't be here. So again, containerized culinary herbs, they're increasing in popularity as both bedding and potted plants. But like I said in the last talk, ornamental crops need to be controlled. Control that height. You need to do the same thing for containerized culinary herbs. And again, as I stated last time, there are no plant growth retardants that are commercially available and labeled, most importantly, and for herb growth. So we have to use non-chemical growth control methods. Now, there are a number of different growth control methods, and I mentioned phosphorus restriction. And just to give you a little bit of background on phosphorus restriction, the dogma used to be that ammonium pushed plants and nitrate kept plants short. But lots of growers would notice that they thought ammonia would boost plant growth and nitrate would keep plants more compact. But Paul Nelson actually figured out that it was not that actually the form of nitrogen itself that was doing it. It was the phosphorus concentration. This was from a paper that came out in 2001. The way he elucidated this is that when growers thought that the ammonium would push growth and nitrate would keep it more compact, they were switching between triple 20, 20, 20, 20, and calcium nitrate, 15-00. They were attributing this effect to the form of nitrogen, but Paul Nelson thought, could it be one of the other nutrients? So he actually designed and did the research on seedling plugs that found that it was actually phosphorus. Now, fast forward a decade or so, Paul's colleague, Brian Wipker, started to use the same phosphorus restriction and apply it to finished or flowering containerized plants. And this is a photo that came from Josh Henry's master's work. He was a student of Brian Wipker's. And here we see petunias grown with nutrient solutions of phosphorus ranging from 0 to 40 milligrams per liter. All the other nutrients are kept the same, so it's just the phosphorus concentration. But here you can see that we can use that same phosphorus on seedling plugs to successfully control containerized plant growth. So our objectives were to quantify the impact of restricting phosphorus on growth, as well as tissue nutrient concentration of basil, dill, parsley, and common sage. So we grew our plugs for this experiment, or seedlings, in-house. We used Italian large leaf basil, fern leaf dill, Italian flat leaf parsley, and then common sage sown as individual seeds in the plug trays. Now, beginning at radical emergence, we started to irrigate plants, and I have our nutrient concentration for the solution down here. This nutrient solution with 75 parts per million nitrogen and potassium and 5 parts per million phosphorus reflects what is commonly a current standard for plug producers. Okay, so we're already using a phosphorus restricted solution for the seedling production stage, but this is a very widely adopted practice among commercial plug producers. I just wanted to point that out. Now, once our seedlings, approximately 4 weeks after sowing them, we transplanted them into a substrate that we made in-house with 75% peat, 25% perlite, adjusted with lime. The reason we made our substrate in-house is so we didn't have any starter charge, any nutrients that were already in the substrate. Our greenhouse conditions for the experiment, again, we're targeting that DLI between 10 and 12 moles per day. We got a 23 degree average daily temperature with a 24 day and a 20 night. And again, the day was from 6 a.m. to and the night was 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. So here are our different fertilizer treatments. I'm just presenting the macronutrients for this, okay? The micronutrients for all of these 5 solutions were identical. So just for the sake of demonstration, I wanted to focus on where we had some variation. Now you'll see that for our different phosphorus concentrations, of course, we have different concentrations of phosphorus, and this is elemental phosphorus. So we've got 0, 5, 10, 20, and 40 parts per million elemental phosphorus. The reason being is 40 parts per million is approximately the amount of phosphorus that we would see in 150 parts per million mixed with 15, 5, 15, or 10, 20. Now, we have identical nitrogen and identical potassium and identical calcium. We did have some variation in the concentration of our magnesium and our sulfur. We had to use different technical salts to try and mix these different solutions. But I'd like to point out, though we do have variation among our magnesium and our sulfur, you'll see that the total difference between magnesium is going from 50 parts per million to 60 parts per million, and the total span for sulfur is about 54 parts per million to about 59 parts per million. So a range of 12 parts per million magnesium and a range of about 4 parts per million sulfur is actually relatively tight when you think about the importance of those nutrients as far as toxicity or deficiency. So this is some noise in the experiment, but there's no other way to get around that when using these technical salts. So I just wanted to take a moment to point that out. We used a randomized complete block design for this, and we had 4 replications for each species. And a replication will contain 4 individual 4-inch plants on the bench. So we had 16 individual plants, but that was actually just 4 replications. And then we used regression analyses for our analysis. Now, I had some nice photos in the last presentation. You'll notice that they're missing here. Not because we decided that we were too lazy to take photos. Our lab camera grew legs one day when the lab was left unlocked, and it walked away. So someone somewhere has some really great photos of herbs that are shorter due to lower phosphorus. So what I'm going to do in this talk is I'm going to present the results from 2 different species. I'm going to focus on 1 species in this talk because all of the results across the plant species were very similar. I'm just going to focus on basil. You can see here that as we go from 0 to 40 parts per million, phosphorus, you can see the effect on plant height. Okay, we've got our plants that were not provided with no phosphorus. They're right around 10 centimeters. You can see that it increases up until about 20 parts per million, 20 milligrams per liter. As you further increase, you saw no increase in plant height. So we had a saturation of growth. The model would say somewhere between 20, but we found that saturation at 20 parts per million. But you can notice that it's about from as you look from the control plant, the unfertilized plant, to that maximum height, you can see a difference of 30 centimeters. That's a fairly significant difference in height as far as looking for control. Now, when we look at height, height is going to be a function of both the number of nodes or leaves that have unfolded as well as the size of those hair nodes. And we do see that we had slower leaf unfolding for those plants that were provided with no phosphorus. You can see they had somewhere around 5 nodes, whereas plants were provided with phosphorus somewhere around 8 to 9 nodes, okay? So we did see a bit of a difference there, but it was still going to be that internode height that was different. We do see an effect on the dry mass of our plant. Again, as the phosphorus increases, we have an exponential increase to a maximum for that shoot dry mass. Now, the reason that I put shoot dry mass in here is, again, just to try and reflect the effect on growth. Dry mass, or even fresh mass, is a little bit less important for those containerized culinary herbs because they may not be going home and going directly into a dish. They might be going home. They may get cut off and used for culinary purposes. They may sit in the container for another few weeks, or they may get planted out into a garden. And so it's a little bit less important than perhaps a fresh market culinary herb. Now, another effect, again, you're seeing the same curve over and over, and I was just cutting and pasting. This growth suppression happened across everything. And again, we took a sampling. And the individual average leaf area, again, increased with increasing phosphorus concentration. We found that same saturation somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 parts per million phosphorus. And again, an indicator of quality can be the branching, because that, you know, generally a more branched plant is going to be more full and look better. And we did see that restricted phosphorus, a low concentration of phosphorus, also suppressed the branch length on basil plants. Now, this is problematic because you're not getting a plant that is as full, but as you heard me state in the previous presentation, since it's common for containerized herbs to be planted with multiple seedlings per plant, I'm less worried about the suppression of the width of basil, and I'm more excited about the potential for suppressing the height with restricted phosphorus. Just to tell you a little bit more what was happening in our substrate, we did pour-throughs at the end of the experiment. We didn't want to run pour-throughs throughout the experiment because it was a liquid solution. We didn't want to displace the solution. But you can see we have a quadratic worst for clause where the pH starts to increase up to 20 parts per million, and then we see it decrease. But again, it's only 4 tenths of a unit, that total span. We also found that substrate EC decreased with increasing phosphorus concentration. That seems interesting at first because the solutions were nearly identical, aside from the 0 to 40 parts per million of phosphorus. But when you have a plant that is this big, that was not provided with any phosphorus, versus a 40-centimeter tall basil plant, this reflects the use of nutrients in that container and the depletion of salt by those large plants. The high EC under the low phosphorus concentration simply reflects the lack of plant growth. I'm really trying to convey the fact that we don't have a photo in these plants at all. Now, since we are doing a tissue nutrient study, we wanted to analyze the tissue nutrients because one of the preconditions for marketing any plant is that it has to be visually appealing and lack any symptomology. So we wanted to look at the tissue concentration. Now, we had some variation in the symptomology that we found for phosphorus deficiency. What I've got up here is the range of 0.6 to 1%. This is the recommended tissue concentration of phosphorus for basal. And this came from, I apologize for not putting in the citation, but it's the Mills and Jones book of tissue analyses. And you can see that when plants were provided with 40 propylene phosphorus, we hit that target recommended tissue concentration range. So we had sufficient phosphorus in our tissue. As you can probably guess, based on looking at the mass and the size, the plants were provided with no phosphorus during finishing. Were very stunted, and they displayed phosphorus deficiency symptoms, that purpling or that bronzing of those leaves. Now, it's interesting, when we look at plants that were provided with from 5 to 20 milligrams per liter of phosphorus, especially those plants at 5 or 10 milligrams per liter, those concentrations that may suppress height, you'll notice that we had deficient concentrations of phosphorus. We didn't have enough for the recommended range. However, we did not have a visual deficiency. So although the tissue was deficient, that wasn't manifested in any symptomology at the end of the experiment. So those plants would still appear marketable. Come back to that point. So restricting phosphorus, again, it suppressed the growth of all of our herbs. And it was very similar, actually, that from 0 to 20 parts per million was usually where we saw that range of growth. And above 20 parts per million, we saw no additional growth. Those plants provided with 5 to 20 milligrams had no phosphorus deficiency symptoms, even if the tissue phosphorus was low. We need to think, though, about the impact of reduced phosphorus on containerized herb growth. For those containerized herbs that are going to be taken home and used immediately, we don't need to worry at all about that phosphorus tissue concentration, okay, because they'll be consumed immediately. What could be problematic is if we're selling containerized herbs that were growing with restricted phosphorus and they were taken home and planted in a patio container or a garden. Now, you know the fertilizing practices of consumers or lack thereof. If these plants are grown with restricted phosphorus and then planted out into a garden or into a container and not fertilized, then there is the potential that that symptomology could manifest itself shortly after or with some more growth. So, this clearly has a place, and often if it's going into a garden soil, there could be sufficient phosphorus. So this could be successful, but we need to think about that consumer use for these containerized herbs. And again, I'd like to thank our greenhouse manager, Pete Lawler, our undergraduate assistant, Erica Tuffy, as well as Nick Flax, again, who is in this room, who helped with this study. So with that, I would like to take one or two questions, perhaps. Yes, sir. Correct. Correct. Now, I'm sorry. Okay, the question is, which one's better, control the reduced yield or control height? Well, so for a containerized herb, we don't sell mass. We don't sell weight. We sell units. We sell it per container. Now, if you were growing your herbs in a container and you were cutting the shoots off and harvesting the fresh market herb and selling them, it would be definitely problematic. But since this is a containerized crop, we're primarily focused on the aesthetics or the architecture or size, as opposed, because that's what we sell, an appropriately sized and appealing unit, and we do mass. So if you were growing this to harvest fresh shoots, don't restrict phosphorus. But size is also not a problem for fresh herb growers because they're cutting it and packaging it. So we're the reason I'm not concerned about that is because we're selling the unit.
Do we have time for one short question?
And compactness, is that the dry mass divided by the height? I did not calculate that. I certainly could. I can send you that graph. I assume it's going to go. I'm just not going to say anything. Okay, that's all I've got. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The plants provided with